Well, welcome to Pillar of Truth, and the title of our message today is Does Jesus Call You Family? Today we explore the fact that the family of believers is to be prioritized over our family of birth. But Travis, many of our listeners, I'm sure, have unbelieving family members that are very dear to them. How would you counsel them to interact with their family in order to be faithful witnesses of Christ?
Well, I think first of all, as we interact with unbelieving family, it's so important that we see them not just as flesh and blood family, but we see them as individual souls who are going to stand one day to give an account before God, to see them as God sees us all, as those who have to reckon with Him one day and to whom He has poured grace upon grace upon grace, and those who He is offering salvation to in Jesus Christ. We need to see them in vertical terms as accountable souls before a holy God. And that then gives us a gospel concern for them, that we want to see them saved. We want to see them set free from sin, set free from the condemnation of sin, eternal judgment. We want to see them find refuge in Jesus Christ and to know Him as their Savior and loving Lord. So that means that the conversations that we're having with our family, obviously it's going to be the banter back and forth and the joy of knowing a family you've grown up with, but then the way you interact with them is obviously going to be gospel-oriented. And even the tension that's created in your newfound love for the Lord Jesus Christ and joining a local church and serving there and the time that that's going to require and the reprioritization of your life, your family isn't always going to like that. They're not always going to understand that. And so those tensions and those questions and those criticisms can turn into avenues, open doors to share the gospel and help them to understand what's changed in you and why, and take them to Scripture. But we also need to understand that it may not always work out well. And Jesus set our expectations in Luke chapter 12. He says, "Do you think that I've come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three." And then he gets very specific about that in family relationships. We need to understand that can happen to us too. So I think we just need to see gospel opportunities, but also understand that we may endure suffering from those we love very, very much.
Well, with those thoughts in mind, let's join our teaching for today.
Third point, the identity of Jesus' family. Look at verse 21. Look at how Jesus answered the report about his family. "Which, as we said, everyone had heard that report by now." Everyone. "But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" What is Jesus saying here? Is he saying, "I no longer have a physical family"? No, he's not saying that. Is he dishonoring them by what he says? No, he's not. He's saying quite simply, there is a closer relationship and intimacy among those who hear and believe and obey God than there is among those connected by mere family ties. There is a closer relationship among believers in a spiritual family than there is among any in a physical family who are unbelievers. Physical family ties are less of a priority than spiritual family ties. That's what Jesus is saying here. And again, it's not that physical family ties are unimportant. Bear that in mind. Jesus has not dishonored his mother here. But the Bible does put a higher priority for believers on the family of faith than it does on flesh and blood family members. Again, it's not your physical family is not important. It most certainly is. But the physical family is less of a priority than spiritual family. We see that priority of believers over unbelievers even reaches into the home. It even reaches into physical family, natural family relationships. The repetition of the familial phrase in verse 19, "his mother and his brothers." And then in verse 20, "your mother and your brothers." Then in verse 21, "my mother, my brothers." The change in those three phrases are the pronouns, depending on who's using the phrase. But notice, in all three repetitions of family relationship, where is Jesus' father? Why does no one even mention him? Not Luke, not the ones reporting it, not even Jesus mentions his father here, right? So where is Joseph? It's very likely that Joseph had died by this time. We have no record of his death in the Bible, but we do believe he died at some earlier point in Jesus' life, very likely before he embarked on his public ministry. By the time we get here to the end of his ministry, John 19:26, and Jesus here is hanging on the cross. Situation is very clear that Joseph has died. And Jesus is pictured in this text carrying out a responsibility to honor his mother, to care for her. And since he'll no longer be there for her, no longer present physically to take care of her needs, not just with his death, but after his resurrection, he's around for a while, but then he ascends into heaven bodily. He's not going to be there for her. So what does he do? Transfers his responsibility to care for his mother to John, the son of Zebedee. Look at verse 26, John 19. When Jesus saw his mother, again, he's on the cross. He's on the cross in excruciating pain. He's in agony. God turns away and does not rescue his son from the cross. He's bearing the sins of all those who will ever believe. What does he do? He attends to something very important here. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. He cared for physical connections, physical relationships. He cared. It's not unimportant. But notice even the distance. He doesn't say, "Mom, behold your son." He says, "Woman, behold your son." Because her relationship to him is different. He is her Messiah. He is her Savior. Now this transfer of responsibility to John, the son of Zebedee, that wouldn't have been necessary had Joseph been alive, right? But note the fact that Jesus, while on the cross, he doesn't put Mary's care into the hands of his unbelieving siblings. He doesn't count on James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. We see here that Jesus considers John to be a closer family connection than any of the brothers in his physical earthly family. As he said in Luke 8:21, you can go back there now as we're walking through that section. Luke 8:21, he said there, made the point repeatedly throughout his ministry, he made this point, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And the language here, you have to understand, is emphatic. Let me give you a literal translation. Answering, he said to them. That's plural. He's speaking to the entire crowd. He's not speaking to an individual that gave him a report. He's speaking to everyone. Answering, he said to them all. He's talking about the entire crowd. He's talking about his own 12 apostles. He's talking about the faithful women who follow and attend to him. He's talking about other true disciples. And he's answering the question. Jesus said to them all, "My mother, my brothers are these, the ones who are characterized by hearing the word of God and doing the word of God and doing so continually." Notice, first of all, that Jesus' family members are identified as those who are characterized by hearing the word of God. That is to say, all the members of Jesus' true family, his spiritual family, they have ears to hear. What does that mean? It means they're born again. They've been regenerated unto new life. They've entered into the life of God that Jesus himself possesses. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Second thing, Jesus' family members are identified as those who are characterized by doing the word of God. That is to say, his family members have ears to hear, eyes to see, and then a heart to respond to what they hear and see. That means they possess, first of all, believing affections. They love new things, the things of God, the things of his word. They hate certain things. They hate the things of this world. They hate sin. They hate unrighteousness. They hate anything that prevents them from coming near to God. They have believing affections. And so what do? They do what they want to do. They live in obedience to God and his word because that's what they want to do. They long to do that. They love God as Jesus loves God. And they fear God as Jesus fears God and reveres him and loves to do his will. They're characterized by hearing and obeying the word of God. They are born again. They possess new affections. They listen because they love God. They can't wait to hear his voice, read his word. They're eager to hear it. They obey because they love God, because they recognize His word is perfect and good and wise, and they're rejoiced to do all that's good and perfect and wise, and so they want to obey. So they're characterized by hearing the word of God. They're characterized by doing the word of God. It's the third way Jesus' family members are identified, in the fact that they keep on hearing and they keep on obeying God's word. These are present tense participles, which portrays the action as habitual and continuous and repeated. So in other words, because of God's regenerating work in them, regenerating them, causing them to be born again to new life, ever since the day they believed, Jesus' family members are characterized by continuing in hearing and obeying, by enduring to the end, by persevering faithfully in bearing fruit and in hearing and obeying. Listen again, you just have to ask yourself, is this me? Or do I just hear when I come every Sunday? Is it throughout the week that I am like the man in Psalm 1, delighting to meditate on God's word and doing it and obeying it? Is that my joy? Is that what I count as more enjoyable than any private entertainment or vacation or trip or ambition fulfilled? Is it more important to you than your business? Is it more important to you than your job? Is it more important to you than your reputation? To hear and to do and to keep on hearing and keep on doing. This is where we need to make a very important family connection abundantly clear. We already pointed out in the three repetitions of Jesus' family relationships, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, we notice in those repetitions the absence of Jesus' father. No one mentioned Joseph, because Joseph was, in all likelihood, he was dead. We need to be more clear and line up our thinking with Jesus' thinking, because Jesus actually does mention here his father. Look again at verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of whom? They hear the word of God and they do it. God is his father. God is his father. Ever since they looked for him when he was lost at the temple, Luke 2, end of the chapter, Luke 2. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? God is his father. And those who are characterized by hearing and doing the word of God, they share in the same parentage with Jesus Christ. They hear God's word because they are born of God, as Jesus is. They obey God's word because they love their heavenly Father, just as Jesus loves his Father and listens to him and obeys him. That's why Jesus calls them family. So we find, right, in John 1, 12 and 13, the world doesn't know him, verse 10. Jesus' own people, the Jews, and even his own family members didn't receive him, verse 11. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of whom? Of God. Let me give you a few words to encourage you, and then a few words to challenge you. First, the encouragement. When Jesus says here, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it, notice the expressions there of intimacy. And beloved, if this describes you, you need to pay close attention, because this is so profoundly encouraging. And by the way, I know that there are those right here in our midst, those who will listen later online, that being a Christian has cost you. It is hurt as family relationships sever themselves from you, as they condemn you, as they judge you, calling you judgmental, the ultimate irony, right? But they hurt you, they malign you, they slander you, they persecute you. For some of you, this relationship to Jesus Christ has cost you. Look at the terms Jesus used here, the terms mother and brothers. He's using terms that describe the most intimate of human relationships, because if you are characterized by hearing and obeying God's word, then Jesus considers you to be relationally closer to him than physical mother and brothers. You are as close to him as an intimate family member. To Jesus, you're as close as his own mother Think about the kind of affection you have for your own mother, and then remove all the sin from that relationship, right? Take away any history of family conflict, family strife, etc. That is the kind of love and tender affection that existed in Jesus' heart for his mother Mary. He never sinned against her. He always loved her. He was always gracious toward her faults, her weaknesses, her struggles. He loved her dearly. Not just her affection for him. Think about his affection for her. Always honoring her. Always thanking God for her. Always caring for her. Having a heart of affection and tenderness toward his mother. Always honoring her perfectly. And what Jesus is saying here is he has that kind of a heart, the same kind of affection for all of you who hear and believe and obey his word. Not only that, but to Jesus, you who hear and obey are as close to him as his brothers. Jesus possesses a close affection for his brethren. We only need to think back to biblical example here, like the affection that David and Jonathan had for one another. They were the closest. They weren't true brothers, but they were closer than brothers. 1 Samuel 18:1, we read, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The affection was mutual. When David lamented the death of Jonathan, he said, 2 Samuel 1:26, I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. And Jonathan died. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women. He had a deep, deep affection for his friend. Those of you who've served in the military, gone into combat, you understand the kind of close affection men can have for one another. And when the affection is deep and that camaraderie is tight, you know the term they use for one another? Brother. They call it a brotherhood. It describes that fraternal affection that goes deeper than any natural family ties. Over in Hebrews 2, 11 to 12, we read more of what we've just been talking about, namely this, that the God who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That's what we're saying here. One source for Jesus and all those who follow him. And that is why Jesus, Hebrews 2, that's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, and this is Jesus speaking, I will tell of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Now, I've sung a lot of songs that I don't ever want to repeat again in my life with military brothers. Sung a lot of songs. There could be a hearty camaraderie and fun and joy on a human level, singing with your brothers. When Jesus brings us all before the throne of God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to sing with us. And it's not a drunken military song. It is filled with joy and purity and holiness and strength and affection for one another before the throne of God. Let that be an encouragement to you. If you are someone who so rejoices and delights in the Word of God, you esteem it highly, you believe in it absolutely, you fear it deeply, you obey it regularly, then you know what? Jesus counts you as a closer family member than his own mother and his own brothers. Let that encourage you, especially when the world treats you so poorly, when your own family members turn against you. Let me challenge you too. Let me provoke you here to reflect about your relational priorities and how you invest your time and energy and resources. As we read in Luke 8:19 to 21, Jesus' physical family members, they were more distant from him relationally than believers. And that's even pictured by their distance and proximity. It's not just those who are close in physical proximity. Anyone who's characterized by hearing and obeying God's word is near to him. No matter where they are, geographically, historically, socially, culturally, Jesus is relationally closer to believers than his physical family. And as is pictured here in our text, the arrival of Jesus' physical family, our unbelieving family members are also standing outside of the household of faith. They are also coming to wrong conclusions about us as believers, yes, What about our Lord and Savior? They're ready to intervene because they too think we are out of our minds. Just as Jesus was judged by his unbelieving family to be out of his mind. Jesus is relationally distant to those who do not hear and obey. He was very open about that, wasn't he? He was willing to speak about it openly and publicly. He said it here in the hearing of everybody in the room. In fact, that was part of him lighting a lamp and setting it on the lampstand. Everyone needed to know that Jesus' family did not have special access to him just because they're family, special family privilege just because of physical family ties. Everyone needed to know the deeper spiritual reality that those who receive Jesus, who believe in his name, it is to them and to them alone that God has given the right to become children of God. It's not a matter of natural birth, nor of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. It's a matter of spiritual birth, which is of God. So what about you? Do you prioritize the family of faith? Or do you prioritize your own natural family? Are you relationally closer to Christians or to non-Christians? Are you as clear with your own family members, unbelieving family members, about their true spiritual condition as Jesus is here about his own family members? Because if you're one of those whom Jesus calls family, then you're going to be increasingly like him, and you're going to be near to him. You're not going to be running around on the outside of the circle. Listen, beloved, I know this is hard, but you need to be courageous in this and leave the results to God. Don't think that by spending all your waking moments running around after the agenda set by your unbelieving family members, that that's going to win them to Christ. We know Jesus' brothers are not believing in him during his earthly ministry. Did he change his agenda for them? No. But later on, there's at least some of them who did join the family. They aligned themselves with their mother Mary. They believed, they obeyed God's word. We actually know the names of two of them because they wrote two epistles of scripture. One is Judas, who wrote the little letter Jude, the epistle of Jude. He called us to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Powerful little epistle of scripture. The other brother of Jesus is James. And by the time James wrote his little epistle, called the Proverbs of the New Testament, he had reflected on what Jesus had taught on this occasion. Remember, James is one of those who had come to rescue Jesus from himself. He's one of those who wrongly judged his older brother to be out of his mind. And now, reflecting on what Jesus had taught, now reflecting and thinking about it through believing eyes and ears, James wrote this, "But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres," that is the continual aspect of hearing and doing, "and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Therefore, beloved, take care how you hear. Be those who are characterized by hearing and doing it for a lifetime. Be encouraged about how Jesus thinks of you, counting you to belong to his family, relationally closer to him because of your spiritual connection with him to the Father. Tender affection, like a mother and brothers, that's what you are to him. Be courageous then in being clear with your own family members, prioritizing your believing relationships over your unbelieving relationships. I don't say neglect your family, neglect your unbelieving relationships. Just don't overemphasize them to the neglect of your spiritual family. Give yourselves to God's will, God's priorities, and leave the results to him. He can and he does save. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, that we can call you Father because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for all who believe. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins, covering us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ for your glory. We thank you for all the privileges that come with believing. that we belong to the family of God. We love you. We give ourselves to you, that we might rejoice in the affection that Jesus has for us and the privilege that it is that he calls us family because of your will, for your glory. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, friend, are you a part of God's family? If not, please contact us right away. We would love to talk with you about your situation. Email us at letters@pillaroftruthradio.com or plan to visit us here at Grace Church this coming Sunday. We would love the opportunity to meet you in person. Just go to our church's website, gracegreeley.org, for our address and time of service. And don't forget to join us next time as we continue to learn to stand up and stand strong on Pillar of Truth.